Luke chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. See to it, then, that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light, and no part of it is dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you.
T.E. Lawrence once said, "All men dream, but not equally. Those who dream by night, in the dusty recesses of their minds, awake to the day to find it all vanity. But the dreamers of the day, they are the dangerous men, for the many act out their dreams with open eyes to make it possible." What do you dream about? What's your vision? It started like so many evenings, Mum and Dad at home and Jimmy playing after dinner. Mum and Dad were absorbed with jobs and didn't notice the time. It was a full moon, and some of the light seeped through the windows. Then Mum glanced at the clock. "Jimmy, it's time to go to bed. Go up now and I'll come and see you and settle you in later." Unlike usual, Jimmy went straight upstairs to his room. An hour or so later, his mother came up to check if all was well and found her son staring out of the window. "What are you doing, Jimmy?" "I'm looking at the moon, Mummy." "Well, it's time to go to bed now." As Jimmy settled down, he said, "Mummy, you know, one day I'm going to walk on the moon." Who could have known that despite surviving a near fatal motorbike crash, which broke almost every bone in his body, 32 years later, James Irwin would step on the moon's surface, one of just 12 people ever to do that. What do you dream about? What's your vision for 2018? When I was 17, my vision, my dream was to become a singer. So I was in all the school productions, my parents were paying for singing lessons, I was entering competitions, talent shows, and Eisteddfodau, which are kind of cultural competitions. And then when I went to the music college in Cardiff, God gave me a new vision. I knew I couldn't be a singer. It became the great goal of my life to preach the gospel. What's the goal of your life? What's your vision? What have you set your heart on? What have you set your sights on? Jesus talks today about the importance of vision. He's just been dealing with opponents. He's even been accused of being in league with the devil. And Jesus rebukes his opponents in the crowd. He calls them a wicked generation in verse 29. The people are wicked because they will not exercise faith. They demand a sign that will make it unnecessary to have faith. A wonderful sign will be given. The sign of the resurrection. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish, so Jesus will be in the grave and will come out, just as Jonah came out of the fish. The Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, will condemn Jesus' generation and our generation because she was willing to explore Solomon's faith. So determined was she to explore it that she came from the ends of the earth. And now, one greater than Solomon is here, Jesus. Will we explore faith in the light of Jesus? Even Nineveh, that evil city, will condemn Jesus' hearers, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now someone greater than Jonah is here. What's your vision for 2018? Will it include Jesus Christ? Well, three guides for setting our vision for 2018, as on your sheets. The importance of light, verse 33. The eye is the lamp of the body, verse 34. And don't mix up light with darkness. So firstly then, the importance of light, verse 33. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Jesus is a very clear teacher. No one puts a light under a bowl. For us, that would be a waste of electricity. We want the light on a stand or hanging from the ceiling so that everyone can see the light. There's no doubt that the light is a metaphor or a picture of Jesus and his ministry. Remember what he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John 8:12. Jesus wants to light up our lives so that we can see clearly. We can see where we're heading. We can see the direction God wants us to go in. So we'd be fools to cover the light with a bowl. We need this light. We need to listen to the teaching of Jesus. We need to read the whole Bible. We need to come to church for teaching. Otherwise, we're back in the dark. We can't see where we're going. Sadly, that sometimes happens. People become Christians, but they listen again to the teaching of the anti-Christian world. They cover up the teaching of Jesus. They return to the darkness. They lose their vision for the future. They can no longer see where they're going. I can think of people we've baptized who've done that. I can think of a couple I married who are now divorced. Their vision was impaired. They couldn't see the way ahead clearly because they returned to the darkness. They were not lit up and guided by the Bible. It's a very foolish thing to take the light of Jesus and cover it up and return to the darkness. Secondly, the eye is the lamp of the body, verse 34. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light. So when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. When I was a teenager, my grandfather went blind. He had glaucoma, and then my father got it and most of his siblings. It's well controllable, but you can imagine My father and his brothers and sister all take their eye drops very seriously. All that stands between them and blindness are these eye drops. And similarly, we should have a sense of urgency about reading the Bible. If we do not allow the light of the world, Jesus, to light up our lives through his word, spiritually, we will go blind. The eye is like a lamp, says Jesus. It allows light into the body. If you do not have good eyes, you will not be able to see ahead. You will not have a clear vision of where we're going, where you're going. You may think, I'll just deviate from the path. Hebrews 12, verse 2, describes fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's how we should go through life. This is how we discern the vision for the future. We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, which means reading his word, seeing how Jesus wants us to live, and putting into practice what we read. Jesus is our Lord and Master. We obey him. That's the fundamental way to clarify our vision for the future. It doesn't matter so much what job we do, as long as we are fixing our eyes on Jesus. As long as our spiritual eyes are good. When we follow Jesus in this way, our vocation becomes clear. Maybe God wants you in a particular profession or trade. But the fundamental thing is, he wants you to be a Christian teacher or plumber or gardener, or whatever. Are we letting the light of Christ illuminate every part of our being? The importance of light. The eye is the lamp of the body. And thirdly then, don't mix up light with darkness. Verse 35. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. What light are you living by? Some people are very close to living by the light, but they're actually full of darkness. The Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons are a good example. They are, in some respects, very close to us. They're religious people. A friend of mine recently attended a Mormon church, and he thought it was very similar to a Christian church. I knew a lady once who became a Mormon, then she became a Christian, then she went back to being a Mormon. But when she did that, the light within her was actually darkness. She wasn't filling her life with the light of Jesus. She was filling her life with the darkness of Satan. Even though her Mormon life looked quite similar to her evangelical life. Make sure, says Jesus, that the light within you is not darkness. But it's not just cults like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons who are full of darkness. I'm sorry to say, some Christian churches stop teaching the Bible. Sounds ridiculous to say it, but it's true. Some churches do not teach the Bible. They start to teach human ideas. That's why some churches now support gay marriage and the transgender agenda. Because they've stopped teaching the Bible and they've started teaching the wisdom of the world. But when we stop teaching the Bible, we cover the light of Christ with a bowl and we fill our churches with darkness. You would think that the way to fill a church would be to teach ideas that are popular in the world, like the LGBT agenda. But the evidence shows it's the churches who teach the Bible which grow. So-called liberal churches, which teach the wisdom of the world, nearly always decline and die. Liberal theology has emptied the churches of the UK, while evangelical churches who teach the Bible, who allow the light of Jesus to shine, grow. I joined the FIEC about 16 years ago. FIEC is a network of evangelical churches. Christ Church belongs to the FIEC. When I joined, there were 30,000 people in FIEC churches. Today, there are 46,000. We are bucking the national trend. We're not perfect, but when we allow the light of Jesus, the teaching of the Bible, to flood our churches, God gives growth. So even if you are a religious person, you must ask yourself, am I filling my life with light or darkness? Do I actually allow the Bible to color my vision? Does the Bible shape my vision? Or does the atheistic world shape my vision so that I'm actually in darkness? Therefore, verse 36, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines on you. In 1994, when I got unofficially engaged to Becca, we went with her family for a holiday in Somerset, and we went to visit Wookie Hole, which is a series of caves. It's quite exciting. And one of the things they do is they take you to the deepest cave and turn the torches off so that you can experience the darkness. But not only was there physical darkness, Somerset is a place of much occult activity. Glastonbury is very spiritually dark. And as we went round the caves, the tour guide was talking about the witch of Wookie Hole. And Becca's father said to me, start singing Christian choruses, Chris. My father-in-law was very uncomfortable in an occult atmosphere, as we all were. I can't remember if we actually started singing Christian songs. I think I must have done, because I was very keen to please my future father-in-law. Don't mix up light with darkness. See to it that the light within you is not darkness. Because if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you. That's what you want. Your whole body full of light. The eye functioning as the lamp of the body. The light flooding in so that your vision is Christ-like. You can see the way to go. You can see the way to live. We began by talking about vision. What you set your sight on. The most important thing is this. Set your eyes on Jesus. On following him. And he will guide you into the life that's best for you. Sometimes it looks as though non-Christians are having more fun. But they're not. They're actually in the darkness. Jesus would say they're on the broad road that leads to destruction. You can see that. People who live for Christ have a wonderful purpose in living to win others for Christ. There are people in this church who've lived for Christ for 40 or 50 years. And you can see the good it's done them. You can see the joy that they have in their lives to living for Christ. This colors every aspect of their lives. And when they come to face death, as we recently had to walk through death with Barbara, the Christian has a peace and a joy. They know that they're going to heaven. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. That's how I want to face death. That's how you should want to face death. The person who's walked in the darkness only knows fear. So the importance of light, you won't get very far without it. The eye is the lamp of the body. Fix your eyes on Jesus and be filled with his light. And don't mix up light with darkness. There's only one Jesus. There's only one Bible. Stick with Jesus and his word. Let's pray. Father, we confess that the darkness of the world looks very attractive to us. We see people sleeping around, getting drunk, taking drugs, living for pleasure, living for money. And in our foolishness, Lord, we confess that we're tempted by all that. And what we really need is Jesus, the light of the world, the light of his word. Help us, Lord, so to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, to keep ourselves in the light, in the word, so that we can see how we should live, so that we have a godly vision for the future. Lord, help each one of us to stay close to Jesus, to stay faithful to him. Please, Lord, would there be nobody else who moves from the light back into the darkness? Please, would all our families be built on this light? So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you, and we thank you for your great love for us. Thank you that you hold on to us. You keep us in the light because you love us. So be with us, we pray. Amen.